come back with two bites, he said. Now we have to figure out what to do with them. Sid Bass was also at his house in Aspen, so Eisner had Murphy and Staggs fax him a stack of documents comparing CBS and ABC. Just 20 minutes later, Bass called Eisner. This Cap Cities deal looks pretty good, he said, assuming Murphy would sell at a reasonable price. We should probably go ahead and make the deal. The following morning, Eisner reached Tisch at the Bel Air Hotel and arranged for him to negotiate with Bollenbach. The rest of the day passed with no word from Tom Murphy. On Tuesday morning, Murphy called. He was willing to negotiate a deal, but only if it were for Disney stock rather than cash. I want my shareholders to have a ticket on the horse race, a chance to ride on the future of the new company, he explained. And he didn't want them to have to pay capital gains tax on the proceeds of a cash sale. There's no immediate tax on a sale for stock. Eisner was going to be attending his nephew's wedding in Vermont that weekend, so he suggested meeting Murphy in person in New York that Friday. Bollenbach was already meeting Tisch in New York the same morning. Murphy agreed. He and Iger had continued to discuss the possibility of selling the company, and it was clear to Iger that Murphy was deeply ambivalent. Iger, too, would be giving up his dream of becoming a chief executive, just when it seemed within his grasp. If they meet our price, we'll sell, Murphy concluded. If not, forget it. Eisner, Bollenbach, and Peter Murphy met on West 66th Street, just outside ABC's headquarters. Bollenbach reported that Tisch had again pushed up the price for CBS to $80 a share, which was discouraging. After walking around the block, Eisner decided he'd offer $115 a share for Cap Cities, which he considered a relatively modest premium, considering that Cap Cities shares were trading at $106. The meeting went on for 2 hours. Though retired, Dan Burke sat in as an advisor to Tom Murphy and argued against an all-cash deal as putting too much debt on the Disney balance sheet. But neither he nor Murphy seemed startled when Eisner broached the price. On one hand, Eisner was pleased, but the obsessive bargain hunter in him immediately wondered if he could have offered less, say $110 a share. The meeting ended with no movement on either side in the cash versus stock debate. Eisner was pessimistic as he headed off to the family wedding, but Murphy had promised to get back to him after the weekend. On Monday night, Eisner and Jane flew to Toronto for the first Road Company preview of Beauty and the Beast. Even though he'd seen it many times, Eisner still loved the excitement of a new opening, and he lingered afterward for 2 hours, discussing details of the show with the director and choreographer. The next morning, Tom Murphy called with a counteroffer, one share of Disney then trading at $55 plus $65 in cash, or a total of $120. "It sounds like we're getting someplace, Tom," Eisner replied. It was a reasonable compromise, roughly half stock and half cash, and only a small premium to the Disney offer price. Peter Murphy and Staggs wanted to accept immediately. Larry Murphy still resisted. Meanwhile, Diller reported that a CBS Westinghouse deal was about to happen, which, once announced, would rob Disney of leverage with ABC. On Thursday morning, Eisner